الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 20th of October in the year 2020 and Alhamdulillah last night I began to discuss what Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions about the awesome day of resurrection. And I went through seven of the blessed descriptions that Allah the Almighty and Glorious gives for that awesome day. And I promised that I would mention the importance of the currency of that day, i.e. good deeds. So there's a report. So the first thing to point out is that the Day of Judgment, everything is different. The world is flat. The heavens, there's no stars in the sky. One report says it's golden. The sky is golden. So you got to get out of your mind. It's nothing like it is now, though we're on this earth. Keeping that in mind, deeds now are not something tangible. The only thing we understand about deeds is that you record the deeds. A person does a deed, inshallah he'll get this reward. Oh, God forbid, this punishment is waiting if he's not forgiven. But on the Day of Judgment, deeds become tangible. Meaning you will see them and you will even converse with them. For instance, in a hadith in Hakim Sahih Targhib, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said, that the deeds will all be saying to each other that we are better, we are better. And Sadaqah will say, Ana afdalukum, I am the best amongst you. And nobody will respond. So leaving aside the virtue of Sadaqah, what does the hadith clearly state? Deeds are talking to each other. And they're saying, I'm better, I'm better. And Sadaqah says, Ana afdalukum. So this report I'm going to mention highlights 19 deeds. Some of them are actually states, but they fall under the same narration. So before mentioning the report, it's important to establish whether it's authentic. So the hadith is recorded in Tirmidhi, Hakim Tabarani. Hafiz ibn Qayyim in his Al-Wabil Al-Sayyib, he states, this hadith was recorded by Hafiz Abu Musa Al-Madini, Rahmatullah Alayh. In his book At-Targhib fi al-khisal al-manjiyya wa at-targhib min al-khilal al-mardiyya. In fact, this hadith is the basis of his book. He says this hadith is very good. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh also thought highly of this hadith. It is reported to me that he used to say, supporting narration show it is authentic. So this narration I'm going to mention, the hadith masters have mentioned it's a sound report, not only in its chain, but all of the content can be established through other reports. So it's an authentic report. So what does it mention? So it mentions our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came out to his companions and he said, I saw something amazing yesterday. So how did he see the amazing thing? Either he saw it physically or it was through a dream. Either way, it's revelation. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a man from my ummah having the angel of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, coming to him to take his soul. But then came the good dealings with his parents and the angel of death left him. I.e. it was decreed his life be extended to repent and perform various other noble deeds. So this was the first strange thing he saw. So what did he see, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This man was basically, death was whispering to his ear. He was about to die. But what saved him? His good treatment to his parents. And the angel of death moved back. So what was the Prophet highlighting here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That good dealings with your parents increases your lifespan. And that's actually mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned in the Bible. If you treat your parents honorably, you will have a long life. So this is an old sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the first amazing thing I saw yesterday. So think about that. We might now actually be on borrowed time. The only reason we've been given an extension is because of our service to our parents. Right? That man did not know. Death was almost upon him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a man whose punishment in the grave was being laid out for him. Then came his wudu and he was rescued by it. Subhanallah. So what was the second amazing thing he saw? This man is about to be punished. Imagine the torturer setting out his tools. And the last moment, something saves him. And what saved him? Wudu. Think about that. The thing that we just do without even reflection. Wudu basically made him successful. That was the second amazing thing he saw, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a man from my ummah who was surrounded by the shaitans. Then came the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shaitans were driven away from him. Subhanallah. So what does this mean? When shaitans surround a person, it means he's doomed. Or he's thereabouts. What not only drove one shaitan away, it drove all of them away. A dhikr. So dhikr protects you from the shaitan. So one of the four great enemies we've got is shaitan. Dhikr is a fortress, the famous hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. Shaitan can't enter until you stop. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was the third amazing thing I saw. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a man from my ummah who was surrounded by the angels of punishment. Then they came his salah and he was rescued from their hands. So the angels of punishment are very severe. But what saved him was his salah. So now what's happening? What is the Prophet highlighting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The value of deeds. The deeds that we do on a daily occurrence, we don't really appreciate them. But the Prophet was highlighting, look what they're doing. How much of an honor and protection they are for you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my ummah who was panting from thirst. When he got close to them, he was prevented from every jug of water and they were removed from him. Then came his fasting in the month of Ramadan. And therefore he drank and he was satisfied. Subhanallah. So like I mentioned, a person will be extremely thirsty because of the sun, because of what's happening in the grave. The obligatory fast of Ramadan will secure you a drink. Think about that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my ummah and I saw the Prophet sitting in groups, alayhi salatu wasalam. Every time the man went to one of the circle, he was driven away. Then came his ghusl, washing from major defilement. And they then took him by his hand and sat him beside me. So when do we do ghusl? One is the obligatory ghusl. One is the sunnah ghusl. If somebody says, what's the virtues of ghusl? A person finds that very strange. He goes, well, you have to have a bath. You're right. But what if, you know, there's a virtue attached to it? Which one would mention this? You are allowed to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is because of the ghusl. There's a hadith in Tabarani where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you've been given an amanat, a trust. And the trust is ghusl. That's an interesting hadith. Why? Because it is an amanat. Because only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when you need to have a bath. And Allah ta'ala loves that when you're guarding that. And look at this amazing report. You are not allowed to sit with the prophets, but ghusl takes you to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about it. Next time you do your ghusl. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my ummah. In front of him was darkness. Behind him was darkness. On his right was darkness. On his left was darkness. Above him was darkness. Below him was darkness. He was lost in complete darkness. Then they came the Hajj and Umrah. And they took him out of the darkness, entered him into the light. Subhanallah. So what image do you get? This man, he looks like he's completely doomed. He's completely surrounded by darkness. And which two deeds saved him? One was the Farad Hajj, the other was Umrah, which most scholars said Sunnah. Which person has mentioned that virtue of the glorious deed of Hajj and Umrah? Meaning it literally takes you into the light. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, I saw a man from my Ummah who was being burnt by fire. Then there came his sadaqah, and it formed a cover between him and the fire. It provided a shade over his head. Subhanallah. So the fire has actually touched this person, meaning he's getting punished. So the first thing the sadaqah does, it puts a body between him and the fire. And then it shades him as well, the Prophet ﷺ said. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, I saw a man who was talking to the believers, but they would not talk to him. Then there came his keeping of family relations, and it was said, O gathering of Muslims, he kept family ties, so speak to him. Therefore the believers talked to him, and they gladly shook his hand. Now think about that, why is this important? Because you have to be in groups on the day of resurrection. And if the believers aren't talking to you, what does that mean? Where are you going to go? And what saved that person? What did? Keeping family ties. And he says, keep it. He goes, O gathering of Muslims, he kept family ties, speak to him. And then they came to him and they shook hands. Then the Prophet said, I saw a man from my Ummah who was encircled by the angels who throw the unbelievers into hell. Then there came his enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. So he was rescued from their hands and he was given to the angels of mercy. So now what's happening? Why are angels encircling you who are dealing with the unbelievers? Look how frightening that is. Meaning that you've lost your iman or thereabouts. What saves that person? He's enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And who takes the place of those angels who are dealing with the unbelievers? The angels of mercy. Look at the virtue of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, I saw a man from my Ummah who was kneeling. And between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a curtain. Then there came his good character. And he was taken by his hand and permitted to be with Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. Meaning there was a hijab. And he couldn't see, he couldn't converse with Rabbul Alameen. And what removed the veil? Good character. Look at that, you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you've got a direct connection with him through character. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my Ummah whose recorded deeds were taken by his left hand. Then there came his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he took his paper and placed in his right hand. So meaning when you get your scroll in your left hand, you're doomed. But right at the last minute, the reprieve, it changes hands. What causes that? His fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khawf. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my Ummah who had a very light weight on his scale, meaning very, very weak. Then there came his young children who had died, and his weight was increased manifold. Meaning it helps him. Whoever loses their children, Allah Ta'ala will make their deeds heavy, his scale heavy on the day of judgment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my Ummah who was on the brink of the hellfire. Then there came his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was rescued from it. He was moved from it. He's about to be thrown into the fire, but he's still got hope. Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. And that's it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's how great it is to have that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a man from my Ummah who was actually thrown into the fire. Then there came his tears that he had cried out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was rescued. So the weeping out of fear takes him from out of the fire.
Mm.
Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a man from my ummah standing on a path that was shudrik, in the same way that a limb of a palm tree shudders on a stormy night. Then there came his good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the shuddering was stopped. So this may be referring to the bridge of Sirat, it's shaking. But his good thoughts, meaning he had always had good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, causes this, the path to remain firm so you can cross. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a man from my ummah crawling on the path. Sometimes he was crawling, sometimes he was hanging on for dear life. Then there came his salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was made to stand on his feet, and he passed over safely. Subhanallah. So basically this man is on this last thread, almost about to fall from the bridge of Sirat, which everybody has to cross. What saves? Salat al-Nabi. Grabs him by the hand, makes him go across. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a man from my ummah who came to the doors of paradise, and they were closed in front of him. Then there came his testification, La ilaha illallah, and the doors were opened for him, and he entered paradise. Subhanallah. So recall all this and act. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now think about this. This is one hadith. Because I saw something amazing last night or yesterday. And he mentioned 19 deeds. Some of them are states. So what were the 19 now without all of the text? Good dealings with one's parents. Wudu. Dhikrullah. Salah. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Ghusl. Hajj and Umrah. Sadaqah, keeping family ties, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, good character, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, young children who have died, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the testification, La ilaha illallah. So what have the scholars mentioned about this? Like I mentioned, Hafiz Abu Musa al-Madini, he wrote a book about this hadith, an entire book. Meaning, I'm going to give you all the fruits. Ibn Taymiyyah said, this is an amazing report of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning there's so much we can take from this. So that's why the world over, you've got books, and they are called Fazaili Amal. Fazail means the virtues, Amal means deeds. Why? Because it's very hard to encourage somebody to do a good deed without virtue. If you noticed, if you tell a person, offer Salat, why? That's the 99% response. 1% will do it because it's love of the deed. Most of us need virtues. And the Prophet himself set the standard. He goes, learn about these deeds. They're not just deeds. They have so many blessings and benefits. And if you reflect upon it, just one of those blessings and benefits should encourage you to do that deed. That's why you get many books. Tabligh, the Tablighi movement. The book is actually called Fazali Amal. The virtues of deeds. Why did he write that book? So it encourages you to read the Quran, to offer salat, to go to the congregational prayer, to do dhikr, to enjoin the good, forbid the evil, ikram al muslimin, all the points are there. And there's another book now called Al-Muntakhab, talking about the virtues of the 6 points. And this is why we are on this earth, i.e. to do the good deeds, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but ultimately to prepare for that day where we will see these deeds which the Prophet promised, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I promised that I would mention this report with regards to the virtues of deeds. And deeds are truly priceless. So to go back to the blessed names of the Day of Resurrection. So we've been through 7 thus far. Just to mention them briefly again. Yawm al-Din, the Day of Requital and Recompense. Yawm al-Akhir, the last day. Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Standing. Yawm al-Kabir, the Mighty Day. Yawm Majmu', the Day of Gathering. Yawm Mashhud, the day when all will be made present, and Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regret and shame. So number 8, again, all of these are qati, all of them are mentioned in the Quran. The 8th name that Allah the Almighty gives to the awesome day of resurrection is Al-Wa'adul Haqq, the true promise. In Surah Al-Anbiya, alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 21, verse 97, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, وَأَقْتَرَبَ الْوَعَدُ الْحَقُّ, and the true promise will draw near. Now think about that. When we say wa'ada, we promise. How often do we break that promise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the signs of the hypocrite is that he breaks his promises. If Allah the Almighty makes a promise, He's not going to break it. But He doesn't just promise the day of resurrection. He says, it's a wa'adul haqq. It's a true promise. Does He ever break His promise? Why is He called it a haqq? Because it's something that there is absolutely no doubt about. Surah 21 verse 97. The 9th title, Yawmin Aqeem. Yawmin Aqeem. The day from which salvation is least possible. Where is this mentioned? In Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22 verse 55, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَلَا يَزَالُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّنْهُ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْدَةً أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَقِيمٍ. And the unbelievers will always remain in doubt about this, i.e. the Quran, until the last hour arrives suddenly upon them, or the torment of the day from which salvation is least possible. Subhanallah. So Allah the Almighty and Glory says something very interesting about the unbelievers, because they'll always doubt the Quran. If you actually think, that is utter foolishness. You can doubt anything apart from the Quran. That's our belief. Every comma, dot, full stop is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody denies even a comma takes him out of Islam. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says they will remain in doubt about this until when? Until Qiyamah. But then He says, or the torment of the day from which Yawmin Aqeem, from which salvation is least possible. Meaning they're doomed. How on earth is the unbeliever going to get salvation on the Day of Judgment? So Allah Ta'ala calls it Yawmin Aqeem, the day from which salvation is least possible. The 10th title, Yawmul Ba'ath. Yawmul Ba'ath, the day of resurrection. In Surah Al-Rum, Surah 30 verse 56, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, فَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْبَعْثِ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Thus, this is the day of resurrection, but you did not know. Subhanallah. Thus, this is the day of resurrection, but you did not know. So what does Allah Ta'ala call one of the names? يوم الْبَعْثِ, resurrection. Ba'ath means to arise. When something comes out of the ground, Allah Ta'ala calls it يوم الْبَعْثِ, but people will be resurrected. The 11th title Allah Ta'ala gives that glorious day, Yawm al-Talaq. Yawm al-Talaq, the day of assembly. In Surah Al-Ghafir, Surah 40 verse 15, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, لِيُنذِرَ يَوْمَ الطَّلَاقَ. He warns them of the day of assembly. He warns them of the day of assembly. So look at these very interesting names or titles. Allah the Almighty is giving the glorious day, because He's making you reflect. It's the day of resurrection, the day of assembly, the true promise. If you go through all these great names, you're thinking, Subhanallah, how much has Allah Ta'ala talked about this day? The 12th title, Yawmul Azifa. Yawmul Azifa, the day of impending calamity. In Surah Ghafir, Surah 40 verse 18, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَأَنذِرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْعَازِفَتِهِ إِذِ الْقُلُوبُ لَدَى الْحَنَاجِرِ لِلْقَازِمِينَ. And warn them of the day of impending calamity, when hearts will rise to the throats due to the suppressed grief. Subhanallah. And warn them of the day of impending calamity. When hearts will rise to the throats due to the suppressed grief. I mentioned this yesterday. A person will be that petrified on that day, he will feel his heartbeat in his throat. And this is the utmost fear, when the heart gets to the throat. You actually feel it throbbing from the throat. And Allah the Almighty goes, Yawm al-Azifa, the day of impending calamity, meaning you expect, you're fearing the worst, the day that you fear the worst. 13th description, Yawm al-Hisab, the day of reckoning. In Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 26, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. For them is a severe punishment because they forgot the day of reckoning. For them is a severe punishment because they forgot يوم الحساب, the day of reckoning. So now there's a gift given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 24,215, Ibn Hibban, number 7,372, Sahih, Ibn Khuzayma, number 849, Sahih, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 936, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, our beloved mother Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes say in his salah or his dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reckon me with a light reckoning. I thereupon asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is a light reckoning? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, He subhanahu wa ta'ala looks in the book of his servant and then overlooks. Subhanallah. He subhanahu wa ta'ala looks in the book of his servant and then overlooks. He goes, that is the light reckoning I'm making dua for. So let's look at this. So, there's a very famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari. If Allah Ta'ala looks at your accounts, you're doomed. That's what the Prophet said. So, Hazrat Aisha tweeted this. And then the Prophet said similar words. Meaning, you do not want him to look into your accounts. If he looks directly into your accounts, every page, you're doomed. So, this dua is an essential. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reckon me with a light reckoning. So Hazrat Aisha queried that. She goes, what is this light reckoning, Ya Rasulullah? How can Allah Ta'ala, because He's the most just. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He looks in the book of His servant, He overlooks. So for instance, let's say these are your accounts. He's looking, He's not questioning you. He's just flipping the pages. Are you going to be glad? He's not asking you questions, he's just looking. But if he looks and he questions, khuda hafiz. So this dua, I would say, is virtually obligatory. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. When should you make this dua? This dua should be said in your tashahud, in the final sitting of your salah. And you can also make this dua in your normal supplications. And you're asking, not through your own words, you are asking in emulation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now think about this. If anybody did not need this dua, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is making that dua. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Oh my Lord, reckon me with a light reckoning. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will answer that. And this is why in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala calls one of the one of the names of the day of resurrection, Yawm al-Hisab. And one last title, Yawm al-Tanad, the day of hue and cry. In Surah Al-Ghafir, Surah 40, verse 32, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, وَيَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّنَادِ. And O my people, I fear for you a day of hue and cry. And oh my people, I fear for you a day of hue and cry. Yawm al-tanad, hue and cry. So what does that mean? When you get people and they're that pressurized, they start wailing. It goes, woe is me, what's going to happen to me? You know, in every language they've got these phrases. They're thinking, oh no, you know, mar gaya, you know, come out with it. And that is one of the names. People will be saying that on the day of resurrection. I fear for you a day of Yawm al-Tanad, hue and cry. People will be crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To add one more. The 15th. Yawm al-Jam'i. Yawm al-Jam'i. The day of assembly. In Surah Al-Shura, Surah 42, verse 7, Allah the Almighty and Lord, He says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَتُنذِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That you may warn them of the day of assembly, of which there is no doubt. Subhanallah. That you may warn them of the day of assembly, of which there is no doubt. Look at the wording. What does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say after He describes the day of resurrection? By saying, يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Where else has He uttered those words? The Quran. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. Alif Lam Mim. This is the book in which there is no doubt. Do you have any doubt about the Quran? The more you study the Quran, the more you are in awe of it, thinking this is the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala uses exactly the same phrase for Qiyamah. وَتُنذِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That you may warn them of the day of assembly, of which there is no doubt. So Allah Ta'ala Himself is mentioning. Now, why do you think He's given all these titles to that day? Because if there is no day of resurrection, evil has triumphed. You are intelligent to be an evil person if there is no day of resurrection. What's the point of good? Therefore, Allah Ta'ala is telling you it's critical for you to have no doubts about this. Once you realize that there's a day of account, there's a day of an assembly, there's a day of, and all these beautiful names, you automatically, your life will be sorted. And therefore, note, it's in the Quran, verse after verse. We mentioned 15 names thus far. There's 17 left, I want to mention. 15 names, Allah Ta'ala is describing this awesome day. Not even leaving it to His beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reassure you, there is absolutely no doubt of that day. Therefore, prepare for it. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you prepared for it? And the more you prepare, the more intelligent you are, as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was basically the beautiful narration which mentioned 19 glorious deeds or states which the Prophet highlighted and the virtues, and then mentioned 6 other attributes or names of the glorious day of resurrection only from the glorious Quran. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi min shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asli insan lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat wa asbil haqq wa asbil salam.
Why is it said yawm al-talaq?